Welcome back. Chazak, chazak, v'net chazek. We finished all of Sefer Bereishis, and we now are moving on to Sefer Shmuel. So good to see everyone back this week. Happy secular new year. So we're starting off a new year, 2021. We are starting off a new Sefer, and both are very exciting. At the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, we know that we are discussing the beginnings of Shiabud Mitzrayim. The end of Sefer Bereishis discusses when Yaakov's family finally comes down to Egypt, and there's a great setup going. They have their own land to live in Goshen. They are living sort of separate from everybody. Paro is thrilled with Yosef, and all seems to be well for the Jews in Egypt. Yaakov has passed away, the patriarch of the family, and they are now establishing their own families in the land of Egypt. However, when we start off in Sefer Shemot, we know that there is a change. There is a new Paro who does not any longer know Yosef, whatever that means, whether he conveniently forgot everything that Yosef had done for his nation, or whether it was truly a few generations later that he did not know Yosef. But whatever it is, this is a new phase in Jewish history, and the Jews are no longer so welcome in Egypt. The Paro that is ruling at this time is afraid of what the Jewish people are becoming in the land of Egypt. So Paro tries to come up with different plans in order to curb the growth of the Jewish people who have been growing exponentially. And it is at this point in Shmot Perek Bet that Paro has already begun to decree different methods of controlling the growth of the Jewish people. He began by asking the Jewish midwives to kill all baby boys. That plan was unsuccessful because the two Jewish midwives refused to kill the Jewish babies, and therefore no growth was curbed because they were not doing anything. The second attempt that Paro has now attempted is to decree that all Jewish boys will be found by Egyptian police and they will be thrown into the Nile River. And it is at this point that we are introduced to our Jewish family, our anonymous Jewish family at this point, but our first Jewish family that we specifically get to meet in Sefer Shmuel. And we begin in Shmuel Perek Bet in the first source on the source sheet. Again, the source sheet is in the chat for anyone who doesn't have it from the email this morning. Vayelach ish mi beit Levi, vayikach et bat Levi. A man goes from the house of Levi and he takes the daughter of Levi. Vatahara ha'isha vatila ben, vatera oto ki tov, ki tovhu vatitzbenehu shlosha yirachim. But this woman, bat Levi, is pregnant, she gives birth to a son, she looks at him and she sees that he is good, and she is able to hide him for 3 months. So this woman has given birth to the son, she is able to hide him for 3 months. After 3 months, she recognizes that she is no longer able to hide him. She creates a small teva for him, a small little boat. She waterproofs it with different materials. And she places her baby inside. She places the baby at the banks of the Yamsuf. Batisim Basuf. She puts it in the reeds at the on the outskirts of the Nile River, Al Sfat Hayor. Batita Tseva Hotomirahok Lada Ludea Maya Asello. And the sister of this baby, again, everything is very anonymous. The sister of this baby stands on the banks of the river in order to see what will happen to her baby brother. Vatirad bat paro, lirchot al hayor, vinaro teha holchot al yad hayor, vatira et ateva betochasuf, vatishlach et amata vatikachaha. The daughter of Paro was walking in the Nile River at this moment. She had come down to the river in order to bathe, and her maidservants were walking on the side of the river. Vatira tateva, and she sees this floating little boat that is among the reeds. Vatishalach et amata vatikacheha. And she either, according to Rashi, she either sends out her maidservant to grab the teva, or the famous midrash that Rashi brings down, that she extends her arm becomes lengthened in order for her to be able to reach the teva, and she pulls towards her this teva. Vatiftach vatereihu et hayeled, v'hine na'ar bocha, v'tachmol alav, v'tomer me'aldei ha'ivriyim zeh. And Bat Paro opens up this teva, and she sees that there is a baby who is crying inside. V'tachmol alav, and she pities him. V'tomer me'aldei ha'ivriyim zeh. And she says, this is a boy, he is a Jewish boy. V'tomer achoto al Bat Paro, ha'ilich v'karati lach isha minakat min ha'ivriot, v'tinik lach ha'teyelet. The sister of the baby comes to Bat Paro, and she says, I see that you have found this baby. Let me go get a Jewish wet nurse, someone who can nurse this baby for you. Vatomer la Bat Paro lechi, vatilach ha'alma v'tikra et im hayeled. And the Bat Paro says, please go get somebody who can nurse this baby. And again, there are so many midrashim that revolve around these psukim that we know the famous midrash that this is baby Moshe, and baby Moshe would not nurse from a non-Jewish wet nurse, and therefore they had to find a Jewish woman so that this baby would be able to eat. V'tomer labat paro, helchi et hayeled hazeh v'hinikehu li, v'ani atin et tzcharcha v'tikach ha'isha hayeled v'tinakehu. The sister of the boy went and brought the baby's mother, brought her to Bat Paro. Bat Paro said, please will you nurse this baby for me? I will pay you to do so. You nurse him, and when he is weaned, please bring him back to me. I will pay for everything. And the woman says, great. She takes the baby, she takes him home, and she nurses him. Vaydal hayeled v'tivi ehu l'Bat Paro. The boy grew up, and the mother brings him back to Bat Paro. Vayhi la l'ben. And she became for him a son. Vatikrashmo Moshe vatomer ki min hamayim mishitihu. She named him Moshe because min hamayim mishitihu, because he was drawn out of the water. So again, these psukim are so jam-packed. Everything that we know about the birth of Moshe, the amazing midrashim about what was it that the mother of Moshe saw that made her recognize that he was so amazing, what was Vayara Toki Tov, whether it was that the house was filled with light, why was it that she was able to hide him for 3 months? Was it because he was born premature? Was it because he was such a well-behaved baby that for the first 3 months he didn't cry? There are so many midrashim that are jam-packed into these psukim. But what I want to focus on today is the mothers of Moshe. Who is this original mother of Moshe? Who is this adopted mother of Moshe? And which one of them is the true mother of Moshe? So that's what we're going to focus on today. Moshe, Yocheved, and Bat Paro. But first, what is happening here? Who are these anonymous people? In Bamidbar, it says, who are these anonymous people and why are they kept anonymous? It seems very vague for the birth of the leader of the Jewish people. One would think that if we are learning about the birth of the Moshiach, the savior of all of Am Yisrael, we should definitely at least know his parents' names, his siblings. Why is everyone so anonymous? This is known as the Perek of pronouns. It's he and she and her and that woman and this woman. Very few people are identified. Why is that? And the first opinion is that of the Abarbanel. That he's, the Abarbanel says, Vayelach ish mi beit Levi v'gomer ad vayigdal hayeled v'tivieihu l'bat paro. He is addressing this entire chapter. Hine lo zachar hakatuv kan shim ha'ish hazeh mi beit Levi v'lo shim habat Levi hazot l'fi shehaya atid l'va'aro b'seder v'ira. He says, later on in Sefer, in Parsha in Seder v'ira, Kisham ne'amar vayikach Amram et Yocheved dodato lo le'isha. Hinei imkein ha'isha zeh shehalach mi beit Levi haya Amram ben Kehat ben Levi. Ve'isha asher lakach mi beit Levi hayta Yocheved bat Levi achot Kehat dodato shel Amram. The Barmanel says, when we get to Sefer Bamidbar, it says there, v'shem ish et Amram Yocheved bat Levi asher yalda oto le Levi b'mitrayim v'tele v'amram et Aaron v'et Moshe v'et Miriam achoto. The Abarbanel is saying everything in the Torah is on a need-to-know basis. When you needed to know who these people were, you were told. Any intelligent person could look at that pasuk and say, Amram, who is a grandson of Levi, takes his aunt Yocheved, who is a daughter of Levi, Vayelach ish mibit Levi, Vayikach ebat Levi. You can easily figure out who they are when it is relevant to you. Here it was not relevant, so we didn't need to write it here. However, the question on the Abarbanel is, typically, the rule in writing is, if you are going to use pronouns later on in the piece of writing, you need to identify the people first. That's not the way it usually works, that we just start off a story by saying he, she, and then at the end of the story, we give their names. Typically, you would introduce them and say, Vayilach Amram mibit Levi, Vayikach ebat Levi shehi Yocheved, and then later on, we can say he and she. So the opinion of the Abarbanel works, but it doesn't fit perfectly. The Ramban brings a different opinion. Why are these really important people kept anonymous? And the Ramban says, Vayilach ish mibit Levi, v'chein zen nizdariz vayikach ebat Levi, v'lo hiskira katov shim ha'ish, v'lo et shim ishto asher lakach, v'hayaze v'avor ki yitzdarich liyachzim v'lahaskir shimam, mi avihem v'avi avihem, ad el Levi, v'achshav yurtze lekatzer ad leidat hamoshia. V'acharkin, Yachas Gamshar Hashvatim Baburo Besider Hashini. The Ramban says that the Torah was in such a rush to introduce us to the Moshiach, to introduce us to Moshe Rabbeinu, that there was no time for Yichas here. We didn't have time for Jewish geography. Moshe, the Moshiach of Am Yisrael, was being born right now. We're not talking about who your grandparents are. Yes, they might have known each other from way back in Eretz Canaan, but that's not what we're talking about right here. What we needed to know right now is the basics. We just needed to know there's a Ben Levi and a Bas Levi. They have a child, and that child is Moshe. We had to cut to the chase. The Ramban says we are getting to what was important here. When there's time later, once we already know about Moshe, once the Jews are out of Mitzrayim, everyone is taken care of, then we can worry about the Jewish geography. Then we can talk about who is this guy Moshe, where did he come from, what is his yichas. But right now, it was not as important as getting us to the important story, which is Moshe saving Am Yisrael from Eretz Mitzrayim. So that is the opinion of the Ramban. However, there is a third approach brought down by the Maharal, which I think will bring us to really the core of today's question. The Maharal is a very long piece that, in essence, talks about that the reason the parents of Moshe were not addressed was in order to tell us the greatness of Moshe. What does this mean? If we skip to seven lines from the bottom of the Maharal, we're starting from the word ve'od. Ve'od. She'im zachar shmam ha'atzmi. Haya mashma ki b'shvil amra mitzad shehu adam prati zeba mimenu hago'el la'olam. What is the Maharal saying? The Maharal is saying, if we were told about Amram specifically, it would have seemed that for some reason it was because of Amram that in his chut, Moshe the Goel was brought to the world. Shekach haya mashma vayelach Amram veikach Yocheved, ritzuno lemar mitzad shehim b'nei adam pratiyim nolad Moshe. If we heard that this is Amram and this is Yocheved and they had a child Moshe, it would have seemed that it was to the credit of Amram and Yocheved that Moshe was brought into the world. Umashma ki Amram v'Yocheved ikar b'lidat Moshe kemo kol adam shemolid ben shehu nolad b'shvil ha'av. It would have seemed like Moshe was any other baby boy, that it is because of the parents that this baby is brought into the world. Shem lo haya ha'av hazeh v'lo haya ha'ben. We would have thought that if it was not for this specific father, then we would have not had this child. The Maharal is making a very interesting point. The Maharal is saying Moshe was not like every other individual who was brought into this world. Rather, Moshe Rabbeinu was set aside as the Goel of Am Yisrael from Sheishas Yimei Breishis. whatever that means, Hashem had created this neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it had been put aside, waiting for a vehicle through which to come into the world in order to be the Goel of Am Yisrael. Hashem says, usually a typical baby is truly a product of the mother and father. And because there is no one else in the world who is uniquely like that father and that mother, that child would not be who they are if not for the specific parents that brought them into the world. And the Maharal is making the point that this was not so with Moshe, that it had nothing to do with who Moshe's parents were. It was not because of the unique combination of the genetic material of Amram and Yocheved that brought about this amazing Goel Moshe Rabbeinu. Rather, it was Hashem had specifically created this neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem just needed a vehicle through which to bring Moshe Rabbeinu into the world, and that vehicle was Amram and Yocheved. It was not because of who they were, rather that they were chosen to be that vehicle of bringing Moshe Rabbeinu into the world. So the Maharal says that is why the parents were kept anonymous. It's not important necessarily at this moment who they are. It's rather that they were just the ones chosen to bring Moshe Rabbeinu into the world. He was not who he was because of them. However, I want to pull out from this approach of the Maharal, and this is going to direct us for the rest of this year today. We hear about this original birth story of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe was born and he was hidden for 3 months, Vayarotzo ki tov, that there was something impressive about him when he was first born. He was hidden by this original mother. And we know she is Yocheved, so from now on I'm just going to refer to her as Yocheved. It's not ambiguous any longer. We hear about Yocheved, and then we hear about him being adopted by this second mother, Bat Paro. If according to the Maharal, it is completely irrelevant who brought Moshe Rabbeinu into the world, then why bother telling us about one mother, let alone telling us about two mothers? What I want to explore is, who really formed Moshe? Who was the true mother of Moshe? Who is considered by the Mefarshim to be the mother of Moshe? And how does that impact Moshe? Why do we learn about these two women? What do they add to the story? What does knowing about Moshe's birth bring into the story? And who truly gets the credit for the person that Moshe Rabbeinu was? And the Maharal would say that it's nobody. But I would say, if we are told about two characters in Tanakh, it can't be that neither of them is important in and of themselves. That we do learn other things about Yocheved, we do learn other things about Bat Paro, they must be important in some sense, and I want to see how that relates to Moshe Rabbeinu. What was his relationship with these two women? So to begin, I want to look back at the technicalities in the Psukim. Who really should be credited as being the mother of Moshe? We know today when someone is adopted, there is a ton of halachic literature about how does one relate to a birth mother, how does one relate to an adopted mother. But we know that when someone adopts a child, we definitely consider the adopted mother to be their true mother, because they are the one that takes this child and raises them. But how does the Torah look at these two mothers of Moshe? Was Yocheved viewed as the true mother of Moshe? Or is Bat Paro really like any other adopted mother, that she fully assumes the role of the mother of Moshe? And if we look back at the text, I believe that it is clear from those few psukim that we looked at that Bat Paro truly assumes the role of mother. Why is that? If we look at the verbs that are used in the story, when Yocheved first births Moshe, again, we are back in Shmuel Parak Bet, there are 8 verbs that are used to describe what Yocheved does for her child. Vatahar, she becomes pregnant. Vateled, she gives birth. Vatera otoki tov, she looks at her son and sees that he is great. Vatitzpinehu, she hides him. Vatikach lo tevak goma, she creates a boat for him. Vatasemba, oh, vatachmera, she waterproofs it. Vatasemba, she places him inside of it. Vatasem basuf. She places it in the reeds. Vatitatza vachutol mirachuk. She makes sure that her daughter is standing there in order to watch over this baby. Each and every move that Yocheved does from the moment this baby is born is done with the utmost care and concern. It's not just she has a child, she takes care of him, and then she gives him away. We hear about every little detail that Yocheved does for this baby. And that's truly symbolic of a mother, that every action that a mother takes is done with the utmost care and concern. I know that from the first few days that my children were born, with each of them, I would say, you think about every feeding, every time they go to the bathroom, every time you change their clothes, every time you diaper them, every time you burp them. You have to, I remember them giving to me in the hospital a chart where I had to write down every single thing I did for them. And you know what? In the first few days, you definitely can account for that because everything you are doing is totally focused on this baby. That every time you are feeding and burping and diapering and changing, it is all done to care for this baby. And Yocheved was the same way. However, this does change once the baby is taken by Bat Paro. It says that the baby is taken by Bat Paro, and then she does return the baby to be nursed by Yocheved. However, when Yocheved now is the owner, again, of Moshe Rabbeinu, of this baby, the description is very different. It says, Vatikach vatinakehu vativiyehu lebat paro. She takes him, she feeds him, and she returns him to Bat Paro. There has clearly been a transition in the roles here. And then immediately following that, Vayehi la leben. He was to Bat Paro fully as a child. That there is a transition from before Moshe has come into the life of Bat Paro and after he has come into the life of Bat Paro. That before Yocheved is fully considered to be the mother, she is caring for every tiny detail of this baby. And afterwards, she recognizes what her role is now. She is no longer the true mother of this baby. Rather, she has been given a specific role, which is to nurse this baby. She takes the baby, she nurses him, and she returns him to the one who is now his rightful mother. Second of all, the other distinction in the text that points out to us that Bat Paro has truly become the mother of this baby is that Bat Paro is the one that named him. We can understand that they must have addressed Moshe by some name until this point. And there are midrashim that say that Moshe had up to 10 different names. Tovia, there's a bunch of them. It's written down here somewhere. We'll get to it in the next source, actually. That Moshe had 10 different names. But the only name that we are told about that Moshe is called by, and the only one that we are told when he is named by this name, is the name that Bat Paro gave to him. Now, typically in Tanakh, the order of events is Vatahar, they become pregnant, Vateled, they give birth, Vatikra et Shemo blank. As we saw by all of the imahu, then when they were pregnant, they gave birth, and then they named the baby. However, we do not see this typical sequence with Yocheved. We see that she was pregnant, we see that she gave birth, and then we see that she hid him and carried on with the rest of her actions. However, when Bat Paro reclaims Moshe Rabbeinu, he has now come into her house, he has become her son, she then names Moshe. And this would also indicate to us that Bat Paro truly becomes the mother of Moshe, that Yocheved cared for him until this point, and then Batya becomes the mother. This idea is supported by a number of midrashim and a number of later sources. The first is a midrash in Vayikra Rabbah. Amar la HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lebatya Bat Paro. Moshe lo haya bencha vekarato benich. Af at lo at biti v'ani kora otach biti. Hashem said to Batya, Moshe was not your son, but yet you fully took him in as your son. So to you, Bat Paro, I will call you my daughter. And that's when Batya gets the name Batya, the daughter of God, as opposed to Bat Paro. Yud Shemot Yikru Lo LeMoshe. There were 10 names that Moshe had. Yered, Chever, Yikutiel, Avigdor, Avisocho, Avijanuach, Tovia, Shmaya, af Levi hayashemo al ikar mishpachto v'moshe haray asara. The Midrash continues in Vayikra Rabba and says that Moshe had 10 names, and it goes through all of them, Yekutiel, Avigdor, Tovia. And it says that Moshe was his 10th name. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Chayech, mikol shemot shenikra lach ani kore otcha, ela b'shem shekaraticha betya bat paro, v'tikra shmo Moshe v'ikra el Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, there have been so many names that you have been called, but the only name by which I will address you is the name that Batya Bat Paro gave to you, and that is the name Moshe. So clearly, Hashem views Batya as the true mother of Moshe. Then he says, Batya, you called Moshe your son, even though he was not originally your son. You took him in, therefore I will take you in, Batya, as my daughter. And Hashem says to Moshe, you will only be called from all of your names, you will only be called Moshe, because that is the name that your true mother, Batya Bat Paro, that is the name that she gave to you, and that is the name that you will go by forever. The Zohar as well gives us interesting insight into how Batya kind of goes down in the history books. How do we view Batya later on? So the Zohar describes what's happening up there in Shemayim. Behechala chada, there is one room, and in this room, Batya Bat Paro, Batya Bat Paro resides there, v'kama ribo v'alfei nashim, and she is joined by thousands of women. Zachyan behada, v'kol chada b'chada minayhu, duchtin dinohura'in v'udein, bila d'choka klal itlay. They are clothed in an eternal light. Now, just keep in mind, this is the language of the Zohar. We're not going to get every single thing it's talking about, but they are clothed in an eternal light, and nothing is withheld from them. Tlat zmanim b'chol yoma, three times per day, kirozei achrizu, hadiyenukta demosha nevia behemna ite, ubatya nifkat, v'atar deferogda chada de'itle, V'cham'at diyenukna demoshe, v'sagida legabe v'amra, zak'a chulake derabiti dinehiru deha. Batya Bat Paro, three times a day, a heavenly voice calls out and says, come view the likeness of Moshe, come see the figure of Moshe. And three times a day, Batya goes out to view her son, and she bows down before Moshe, and she says, Ashrenu, how lucky am I that I was zocha to produce such a wonderful offspring, that Moshe Rabbeinu came out of me. V'da'ihu enugin dila yatir michlayhu. And Batya goes out every day like this, goes out to greet him, and she is so happy. This is the highlight of her day. Three times a day, she says, wow, I was zocha to raise such an incredible light. And she is forever happy because of being able to view Moshe. And the Zohar continues, Ad harata legabe nashin, v'shadlayhen lefikure oraita. And what is Batya, I just found this interesting, what is Batya doing the rest of the day when she is not going out to greet Moshe Rabbeinu? She is learning Torah, because she missed out on learning Torah for most of her life. She is learning Torah. And who is she learning Torah with? She's leading a beis medrash for women up in Shemayim. All of the women who weren't able to learn Torah or as much Torah as they would have liked during their lives. Batya Bat Paro is giving shiurim to these women. They are learning Torah, delving fully into the depths of Torah. And all of these women are at peace. They learn Torah all day, and none of them ever suffered in Gehenna at all. These women who join Batya Bat Paro, they sit and they learn day in and day out and delve into the joys of Torah. Batya only disturbs her Torah learning in order to go out and greet Moshe three times a day. And that is the eternal life that Batya is living in Shemayim. What was so amazing that Batya did? She clearly is marked down as this incredible woman who is Zocha. It says as well about Batya that we are going to see in the Midrash in Mishle, which is two sources down. Vatikam ba'od laila, zo Batya Bat Paro. Every line in Ishas Chayil corresponds to a woman in Jewish history. And the line of Vatikam ba'od laila, that she arose at night, this corresponds to Batya Bat Paro. Goya haita v'nasi Yehudiya. She was originally a Goya. She was a non-Jewish woman, and she became a Yehudia. Ve'hizkiru shma bin hachsharut. Her name is listed among all of the other kosher women. Bishfiel she'aska b'Moshe, because she took care of Moshe. Lefichach zachta v'nechnesa b'chayei l'gan Eden. Ba'ya went in. She was one of the few people that we learn about that went alive into Gan Eden. She is joined by Sarach bat Asher. She is joined as well, we believe, by Eliyahu Hanavi. These people that went alive into Gan Eden. So what was so fantastic about what Ba'ya did? And if we look back at the Psukim, we can understand, who was Ba'ya? She was a princess in Paro's palace. She had it made. She had everything she needed. She's going out to the Ya'or, she's going out to the Nile for a quick bath. Rashi does point out, though, that he believes that it was at this point that she was going down to convert. But that, again, there is so much we can delve into in this area. However, if we look at Ba'ya, she has come down, she's carefree, she is not a concern in the world. Nothing would indicate that Ba'ya should make her life's mission to go against her father, the king of Egypt, and save Jewish babies. Why did she need to do this? There was no reason that she should take in this Jewish baby. However, Ba'ya was just that type of person. She saw the teva of Moshe coming down the river, and she heard a baby crying. And she opened up the teva, and she recognized this is a young Jewish baby. Vatachmo alav. And it was out of the pure pity of her heart that she pitied this baby and decided to go against everything. Everything her father had told her, everything that the culture around her was dictating. And Ba'ya decided that she was going to adopt this baby. But she didn't then think that she was the most important, most amazing woman in the world. Rather, she recognized immediately that she needed to do what was best for this baby, not what would make her feel the best, look the best. She recognized she couldn't nurse this baby. So immediately she turns to a young girl and asks her advice. What is the princess of Egypt asking some little girl on the side of the Nile River for advice? And the little girl suggests something, and this woman listens. And she says, sure, get me whoever can nurse this baby. I will pay you, take care of this baby who I just found. Nurse him and then return him to me, and then I will raise him. Ba'ya has such pity for this young Jewish baby. She clearly also has such selflessness that she is completely ready to do whatever this baby who she literally just uncovered. She didn't go through any long, bitter adoption process. She literally went down to the river, uncovered a teva, and automatically decided that she was going to dedicate everything she had in her life to this baby. And she truly becomes this baby's mother. So what we see from Ba'ya is these values of selflessness, of giving, of pity, of rachmanos, that it is no wonder that Hashem fully adopted her as a member of the Jewish community, as we believe that we are Rachmanim, that Jews are identified by our Rachmanis, our ability to have pity and to have care and to give to other people. Rav Hirsch says beautifully, Paro's daughter called her foster son Moshe, one who draws out of the water, not Mashoi, one who is drawn from the water. Perhaps this gives us an indication of the whole tendency of the education which the princess gave her foster son. That all his life is he to have a tender heart for other people's troubles and always be on the alert to be a Moshia, a deliverer in times of distress. His Hebrew name always kept the consciousness of his origin awake within him. That Ba'ya could have called him Mashoi, the one who I drew from the water. But rather she named him Moshe, one who draws out of the water, so that she can make sure to impart in Moshe this value through which he was saved, that she felt that she was in a position that she needed to draw him out. She saw someone suffering and she had to save them from that suffering. And we know that she imparted this message in Moshe and that it most definitely stuck with him, that Moshe is known as the ultimate Moshia. He is the one who saves. He is the one who draws out. And this value was given over to him by Ba'ya Bat Paro. But how could it be? We see all these great qualities from Ba'ya that she is so praised. But it's really sad to think that there is potential that Yocheved would not get any credit for being the mother of Moshe. Yocheved risked her life to save this baby. She first and foremost, she even gave birth to this baby. We know the Midrash that talks about Vayikach Ishmi Beit Levi, Bat Levi, that this was a second marriage. That Yocheved and Amram had been married before. They had Moshe and Aaron. They had Miriam and Aaron. And then they had separated when Paro had decreed on the baby boys. They said, why should we give birth to any more children if they are just going to be killed? And Miriam came to them and she said, you must remarry. Your decree is worse than Paro's. Paro has decreed only on the boys, and you have decreed on the boys and the girls. Remarry and Hashem will do what is meant to happen. So they had remarried and they had risked their lives. They had this baby. They hid this baby. They made sure that this baby was protected. They put this baby in a way that she hoped maybe he could be saved. She then nursed this baby and returned him so selflessly to this woman who was going to care for him. How could it be that Yocheved gets no credit? We all know Yocheved is the mother of Moshe. How could it be that it seems from the sources that she gets no credit? So if we first look back at the Zohar that immediately follows the Zohar about Batya, it talks about the other room up in Shemayim, and that is the room where Yocheved lives. Beheichala achra, he eats Yocheved. In a second room, there is Yocheved. Amei de Moshe nevia mehamana, v'kama alfin v'revavin behada. In the other room is Moshe, the mother of the faithful prophet, and along with her as well, there are also thousands of women. Beheichala da, in this room, La machrize klal. There is no announcement. Ela gimels manim bechol yoma veyoma. Odit umishabacha lema'are alma. Yocheved pauses and thanks the borei olam. Ihi bechol ina nashin de behada. And she says, and she praises the ruler of the world along with all of the women who are with her. Vishirata di yamad mizamrim bechol yoma. They sing the Shirat Hayam every day. V'ihi b'luchida amarta mehacha v'tikach Miriam hanavia etatof biyada v'chol inun d'tzidika dey began Eden tivitin lekel ni'imudila. Yocheved leads this song of Miriam that Miriam originally led on the Yamsuf. She leads it in heaven every single day, and all of these women sing in Gan Eden. And when the angels up in Shemayim hear this praise from the women in this room, singing along with Yocheved, they praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this source is kind of sad as well. That the source about Batya, the Zohar that speaks about Batya, says that three times a day there is this beautiful reunion between Moshe and Batya is able to come out and see the amazing person that she created, and she thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she's so happy for herself, and she's so happy for Moshe. It is a great reunion three times a day. And the Zohar points out that Yocheved is up in Shemayim as well. She is also surrounded by thousands of women. But for Yocheved, there's no grand reunion. For Yocheved, there are three times a day of introspection. Three times a day where Yocheved knows what's happening elsewhere in Shemayim, those three times a day. But for her, there's no celebration. There is the knowledge that she brought Moshe into this world. And there is praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what's right. So at those three times a day, Yocheved makes sure to introspect and think about what she brought into the world, but focus her attention on praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Definitely a very different experience. She is credited with physically bringing Moshe into the world, but it's seemingly not for developing into him into who he was. The Midrash in Mishlei, which is also discussing Eshet Chayil and is a continuation of the pasuk that was credited to Batya. What is the pasuk that corresponds to Yocheved? Zamema sadeva tikachehu mikri chapena natakarem. Zohi Yocheved. This is Yocheved. She yetza mimena. Moshe, that Moshe came out of her. Shehu shakul keneged kol Yisrael. That this is as if she birthed all of Am Yisrael. Shenikru karem. That Bnei Yisrael were referred to as a vineyard. Shenamar ki karem Hashem tzvakot beis Yisrael. So what is Yocheved credited with? Yocheved is credited as physically being the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, but she is not the one who developed Moshe Rabbeinu into who he was. And this very much goes along with the opinion of the Maharal that we read before. Then the Maharal says that the birth parents of Moshe Rabbeinu are not an important role in his life, that they did not develop Moshe Rabbeinu, they were incredible in that they brought him into the world. And for this, they should be praised. Hashem should be praised for having brought Moshe into this world. But it is not to their credit that Moshe Rabbeinu is who he was. But interesting to note, where do we see this come down later in history? How is Yochaveh truly viewed? Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who is the one who compiled the Torah Sheval Peh and wrote down the Torah Sheval Peh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, when he discusses Yochaveh, he refers to her as the mother of 600,000, that it is seen that Yochaveh very much played an important role in that she birthed the person who saved all of Am Yisrael. And interestingly, later on in history, the Jews of Italy developed a custom to sing a song to Yocheved on Simchas Torah, because they say the Torah that we received is brought down by Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore we must credit Yocheved for having brought Moshe Rabbeinu into this world. So at the time that they are celebrating the Torah, the Jews of Italy would praise Yocheved. But practically, what did Moshe get from Yocheved? We see that it couldn't just be that she was the surrogate that just brought him into the world. Did Moshe gain anything from Yocheved as well? Do we feel that he did learn from her in any way? So first I brought you the Gemara in Sota, and just for the sake of time, we're not going to go through it. But the Gemara in Sota is introducing to us to what was Yocheved's job. We know that Yocheved was one of the mialdot, the Jewish midwives. It is unanimous in the Gemara that Yocheved was one of the midwives. The other one of the midwives is what is contested in the Gemara. There is one opinion that it is Isha v'chamota. It is a woman and her daughter-in-law. That it was Yocheved and Elisheva, the wife of Aaron. And the other opinion, which is the more widely accepted, is that it was Yocheved. It was Isha Ubita, a woman and her wife. A woman and her daughter. It was Yocheved and Miriam. So we know that Yocheved was one of the midwives that stood up to the decree of Paro, that Paro wanted them to kill all of the baby boys upon their birth, and they said no. So what lessons can Moshe draw from her just inherently that she was one of these midwives? Clearly, there was an essence of Yiras Hashem, that he was brought into a family that was really built upon Yiras Hashem, and also this care for others, that she could not put others in a position where she would harm someone else. She was not able to kill out these baby boys, not only because of Yiras Hashem, because also how could she do this to that mother? She could not kill out that baby boy, she could not harm Am Yisrael, and she could not go against what Hashem clearly wanted her to do. And the Kedushas Levi brings down this point in a very interesting way. In Devarim, when Moshe is giving his final speech to Bnei Israel, he says, "What does Hashem want from you? V'atai Yisrael, ma Hashem elokecha sho'el meimcha? What does Hashem ask from you? Ki'im lira es Hashem elokecha." Bnei Israel, all Hashem wants from you is to completely fear him. And I remember when I taught this last year to my 11th grade girls, they were like, "Oh, that's it? No big deal. All we have to do is completely fear God." No problem. Of course, perfect Yiras Hashem. That's all Hashem's asking from us. No, that's clearly challenging. And all the Mefarshim ask, why would Moshe express it like this? Why would Moshe say, all Hashem is asking from you is this tiny little thing just to totally fear God? And the Kedushas Levi brings down his answer to this question, which is, Uvarchin b'Gemara, it is explained in the Gemara, Atu Yira Milta Zutrahu, How could Moshe possibly describe Yiras Hashem like this? Umishini ein legabe Moshe milta zutrahu. And the answer is because to Moshe, this was something easy. Why is this? Umakshim hamifarshim haloli Yisrael amar Moshe zo. But the Mefarshim asked, even if it was easy for Moshe, first of all, he's going to go more into why was this so easy for Moshe, but why would he describe it like this to Am Yisrael? Why would he make it seem like it was something so easy when for Am Yisrael it definitely would not be? V'nir elitaretz ki hineita b'pasak, v'yihi kir'u hamialdot et halokim, v'ya'as lahem batim. Moshe, when the mialdot did not listen to Paro, it says that Hashem rewarded them with batim, with houses. What does this mean? V'pirish Rashi, batei kehuna v'leviyah v'malchus. These were the houses of kehuna, leviyah, and malchus, and kingship. Nimsa shenolan Moshe b'schar yira. Moshe was born in the merit of Yira. Moshe haya anav me'od mikol adam. And Moshe, we also know, was more humble than anyone else who ever lived. Nimtza, it is found, kishem Moshe histakel al atzmo, shehu nolad b'schar Yira. Moshe was born into a family that was completely founded in Yiras Hashem. And Moshe also saw himself, he was a true Anav. He did not think that anything he did was too great. So he said, if I'm born into a family that Yiras Hashem comes so easily to me, and I'm nothing too great, it must be that it is something easy for everybody else. V'zehu pirush in legami Moshe, shehu haya misakel al atzmo, shehu nolad b'schar hayira nimtza milta zutrahu. Moshe thought that Yiras Hashem was something that would be easy for everyone to acquire. He said, if little me, if I'm able to be a Yirei Hashem, if I am able to have fear of God, it must be that everyone else can easily have Yiras Hashem. So we see that the foundation, the core value that Yocheved gave over to Moshe was this Yiras Hashem, that he felt that he was born a Yirei Hashem. So as we see, there were qualities that were given over from both sides. That Batya gave over also, I would argue, a fear of God. Sorry, let's start with Yocheved. Yocheved gave over fear of God, care for others, and a sense of responsibility, what she had to do, as well as Batya. Batya as well, she found this teva, she felt a sense of responsibility, and one could also say a Yiras Hashem, knowing what was right to do, even if it was difficult, even if it was not what would have been the easy way out as at all, Batya knew what she had to do. She had this sense of responsibility. She had this fear of God. And she also had this sense of giving to others, caring for others, that clearly Yocheved had as well. So we see that even though they did not really interact with each other, Yocheved and Batya gave over really the same values to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what can we learn from this? How do we understand what was Moshe's relationship to both of them? We see that Batya clearly becomes the true mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yocheved received some credit for bringing him into the world. But what can we learn from this? What message can we take from this adopted relationship of Moshe Rabbeinu? And for this, I would like to read a quote from Revolvi. Revolvi is famous for his Sfarim Ali Shor, but he also has a fantastic sefer, Binyan Vizriya V'chinach, Planting and Building in Raising Children. And I want to just read from the introduction to his sefer, or the first chapter, Growth and Construction. Revolvi explains, growth is a natural organic process. Seeds placed in the soil will sprout on their own. So will trees and flowers. In contrast, construction is a manual process. A person lays the building's foundation and then places brick upon brick until he finally completes the structure. And then a few pages later, Revolvi explains, how does this concept, Revolvi views all of the processes in the world as relating to these two ideas. Everything in the world can fit into the category of binyan uzriya. It is either you are engaging in building or you are engaging in planting. Hashem, he says that Hashem interacts with the world through these two modes, that Hashem is always either planting, giving over to us the basic materials through which to grow, or Hashem is physically building us up or building up the world. And he thinks that all the processes in the world go through these two modes. How does this relate to raising children? He says, if we allow a child to sprout and grow without building him, the result is a wild man. If we build a child without relating to his koach hatzmicha, to his planting, we turn him into a robot. Chinuch consists of both the koach hatzmicha and the action of building. That is, we must build a child while cultivating his spiritual potentials. How does this relate to what we learned? What I would like to say is that Yocheved and Batya teach us this lesson in chinuch. They teach us the importance of planting and the importance of building. That Yocheved is credited as being the person who planted Moshe Rabbeinu. She planted these values and these seeds within him. This Yiras Hashem, this value for the Jewish people, this value for others. And then Batya came along, and Batya assumes the role of mother. And Batya shows us, what does it mean to build up a child? She took a child and she recognized his inherent values, what he was naturally born with. the Rav Hirsch says that it must have been that Batya consulted with Yocheved about the name of Moshe, because his name is not really an Egyptian word. It is a Hebrew word. And therefore, Batya must have consulted with Yocheved. We can assume that Batya must have gotten to know the family a little bit. And Batya recognized these values that Moshe Rabbeinu was born with. And then she recognized what her responsibility was. Her responsibility was going to be to take this baby that was handed over to her, that came to her with a past, with qualities, with values that he was given over with, and she had to cultivate this. She had to water him. She had to make sure that he was given the appropriate water and sunlight and everything in order that he would be able to sprout into the Moshiach that he was meant to be. So Batya takes his origin, the fact that he was taken out from the water, and she doesn't name him the one who was taken out. Rather, she gives him over a bracha through his name that tells him what his mission in life should be. She waters this value through which he was passed over to her, and she says, you are not going to stay as someone who was just taken out of the water. I am going to enhance these values that you were given over to me with. I'm going to water them. I'm going to remind you always that you are going to be a Moshiach. You were given over to me with this koach of wanting to care for others, and I'm going to water that. I am going to lead by example. I am going to show you what it means to care for others, and I am going to turn you into somebody who eventually will care for other people. So I think the message is that it's not that either of them gets credit. It's not that either of them is the sole mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rather, we are told about each of them in order to teach us about this partnership, about this balance that must be achieved whenever we are engaging in any sort of chinuch, whether it is your children, whether it is your grandchildren, whether it is leading by example to foster an environment that surrounds you. It is the people around you. We must always keep in mind this balance of the planting, planting that Yocheved did, that Yocheved gave over the original seeds. She planted within Moshe Rabbeinu the kochot that he would need later in life, and the koch of Batya, the one who took what she was given and watered it and cared for it and built it up so that it could flower into the beautiful Moshiach that we needed to save Am Yisrael. So Mirtz Hashem, we will be able to take both of these kochot, this binyan, then this zriya, this planting and this building, and be able to use them together to act as mechanchim within our own lives, to our children, to our grandchildren, and to all of the people around us. Thank you so much for joining today.